chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, John is now coming down to the end of the vision that God has given him, and he closes the chapter 21 and chapter 22, about the celestial home in heaven that we'll inhabit. And John begins to describe that as best as he can in his vocabulary. My friend, may I say to you this morning that heaven is more than what you and I could ever imagine. It is more than what you and I could ever dream. The Bible said that eye hath not seen or entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And you and I today are living in a world that is full of corruption, and we're living in a world that's in sin. And if you look around, somebody, Miss Bonnie asked me a while ago, we took a little trip up to the mountains and saw the leaves. And she asked, said they began to change color. And I said, yeah, beautiful. But my friend, everything around us is under a curse. But thank God we're going to a city, a celestial city of God that has no curse. And here in Revelation chapter 21, John begins to try to describe that city to us. And I want to preach to you on that thought this morning for just a little while. Notice in verse number 1 of chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thank God for the reading of his word. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we praise you today. God, we glorify you that we can read and that we can sing about our home that is across the river. Thank you, Lord, today that there is a place called heaven and prepared for the saints of God. I pray that you might just move upon us today. May we have a greater awareness of our eternal home and a greater appreciation, Father, that we long for that city whose builder and maker is God. I pray that you just touch the hearts today. If there's someone here today, they've gone through a profession. Lord, they've perhaps walked an aisle, signed a pledge card somewhere, but they are lost without Jesus. I pray today would be the glorious day they'd say yes to the Lord, and they'd be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. The year was 1952. A man by the name of Carl Lawrence Trivette wrote a Christian love song for his dear wife, Mary Lee. She loved it so much that she asked him that he would sing it at her funeral, which he did so in 2003. At the close of the sermon, I would like to sing that song for you this morning. Here we find in Revelation chapter number 21, as John begins to describe that celestial city of God. I wanted to say to you today that this week has been filled with a variety of emotions for me. I've enjoyed last Sunday morning preaching at the Bible Baptist Church and seeing the young lady saved. And Wednesday night, for those of you that were here, what an awesome move of the Lord that was here. Say amen. Amen. I mean, son, if you missed it, you really missed it Wednesday night. God came down and testimonies broke out, and everybody was just thrilled. We had a good number of folks praying, and what a blessing it was. But then also, I just want to say, as we were going through that testimony meeting, Sister Wanda back here said, now we're having church. I said, amen to that. We are. But then this week was also filled with sorrow. On Monday morning, I saw where my good friend, Pastor Wayne Wright of the McConnell Road Baptist Church and Dean of the Bible Institute in Greensboro, had slipped out into eternity. And then they had his funeral on Thursday of this week. Friday morning, I received that phone call from a good friend And he said, "Preacher, pray for our church and pray for the family of WB." And friend, those of you men that are here, you'll probably remember him if you saw his picture. He was the fellow that came with Brother Mike Quick many times. Big, robust fellow, big, strong-looking guy. But Friday morning, evidently had a massive heart attack and went out into eternity. Brother Wayne was 67 years of age. Brother W.B. was only 52. I thought much about heaven this week. And today, beloved, I wanted to share with you some thoughts about my eternal home. When I got to church on Wednesday night, walked in, Brother James Parrish came and he said, you didn't notice as I was standing out there looking up. I said, "No, I didn't." I said, "What were you looking at?" He said, "I was just looking at my eternal home beyond the river." I'm glad, beloved, that there is a home beyond the river. I'm glad, beloved, there is a mansion on the other side. I'm glad, beloved, that there is a place for the saints of God. That this world that we live in is only a temporary. But thank God we're going to an eternal place where there is no moth, rust, corruption. There are no thieves of breakthrough and steal. You won't have to lock your doors in heaven. You won't have to worry about carrying a gun in heaven. You won't have to worry about somebody being murdered in heaven. You won't have to worry about doctors and hospitals and cancer treatments. Thank God the former things of this world will be passed by. But John describes that. Let me give you a few thoughts on that place called heaven this morning. Number one, if you care to write them down, there is the fact of heaven. The Bible says here that heaven is a real place. You believe that? Say amen. Just as real as Ramshore, North Carolina. I stopped at a thrift store on a Friday afternoon, and a young man that we began to talk to as we walked in, they were playing Christian music. I figured I was in a good place right then. And then the young man mentioned about he's 39 years of age. I began to talk with somebody and talk about praying for their husband. He and I struck up a conversation, and so I gave him a card of mine. And he looked at it, he said, "How do you pronounce that town?" I said, "It's Ramshore." And he said, "Where's that?" I said, "Well, it's between Ashburn and Silver City." You see, beloved, if you took a map of North Carolina, you would find a little dot, a little place called Ramshore, Franklinville, Silver City, Ashburn. My friend, heaven is just as real as Ramshore. It's just as real as Franklinville. It's just as real as Reedsville. It's just as real as Silver City. You see, beloved, heaven is a real place. It's a real place, my friend, where the saints of God are today, where Jesus is today, where God the Father resides today. Thank God there is a place called heaven. It's a real place. I see here in the Bible, it was seen by the Apostle John while he was on the Isle of Patmos. It was built by God. Look in chapter 21, verse 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Oh, listen, heaven, my friend, was created by God Almighty. The late Harry Reimer penned the following letter to Charles Fuller, who was of the old-fashioned revival hour, shortly before his death. Dr. Fuller had a great radio broadcast that went all over America, and he said on one of his radio programs, "Next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the subject heaven." And Dr. Reimer wrote to Dr. Fuller and sent him a letter, and this was the letter. He said, "Next Sunday, you're to talk about heaven. I am interested in that land because I've held a clear title to a bit of property there for over 50 years. I did not buy it. It was given to me without money and without price, but the donor purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation. It's not a vacant lot. It's more than a half a century I have been sending materials out of which the greatest architect of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need remodeling or repairs because it will suit me perfectly individually and never grow old. Termites cannot undermine its foundation, for it rests upon the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Woo! Glory! Floods cannot wash it away. No lock or bolts will ever be placed upon the doors, for no vicious person can enter that land. Where my dwelling stands, thou almost completed, almost ready for me to enter in and abide in peace eternally without fear of being rejected. Now there is a deep valley of sorrows between this place where I live and to that which I shall journey in a short time. I can't reach it, my home, in that city without passing through that valley. But I am not afraid, because the best friend that I ever have went through the same valley long, long ago and drove out all of its gloom. He stuck by me through thick and thin since we first met some 55 years ago. And I hold his promise in printed form. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be there with me when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall not lose my way, because he is with me. And he closed by saying, I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday, but I have no assurance of that. But he said, my ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, no permit for baggage. Yes, I'm ready to go. I may not be here when you talk about heaven next Sunday evening, but I will surely meet you there someday. Yeah. Aren't you glad for that? Yeah. Thank God, some golden daybreak. All the sorrows and troubles and trials will be past, and will, as the saints of God, be at home forever in heaven. But then notice number two, the former things are passed away. Look at verse number four. There are seven things that are passed away. In verse number seven, he said in chapter number 21, that the former things in verse 4, he said, the former things are passed away. First of all, there's no more tears. God will wipe away all of our tears. Aren't you glad for that, friend? Amen. Tears sometimes will never stain the streets of that city. Thank God he'll take his omnipotent handkerchief. All the brokenness, all the tears have been shed for a wayward son. Tears been shed for a wayward daughter. Tears been shed over broken home, broken marriages. All of a sudden, God in his infinite divine mercy takes his omnipotent handkerchief, wipes all the tears away, and thank God heaven will be a place of no more tears. No more tears, no more death. No more funeral homes. No more graves. No more undertakers. No more headstones. No more embalmers. No more, listen, no more funeral hearses coming down the mountain. I don't know if my family saw it or not, but we were headed up side the mountain the other day, and all of a sudden here come a hearse on the other side. Now listen to me. I've been around long enough to know this. When you see a hearse, and there's no cars in front of it, and there's no cars behind it, they've gone to pick up somebody's loved one somewhere. When you see a hearse by itself coming down the road somewhere, you can rest assured somebody just went out into eternity. They picked up their body and they're taking it to the funeral home for preparation. Oh, listen, my friend, in heaven, there'll not be any hearses.
Amen.
In heaven, there'll not be any coffins. I heard on WITR, I'm not putting a plug in for the fellow because I don't know where he is. But somewhere down in Seagrove, there's a fellow down there, and he's making homemade pine boxes for Christians, ever who wants them. But he's making homemade caskets for them. Friend, let me tell you something. The undertaker will go out of business in heaven. There'll not be any crates on the doors. There'll not be any funeral wreaths hanging there. There won't be any funeral homes. There'll not be any undertaker. Thank God! There'll be no more death in heaven. Amen. No more death, no more tears, no more death. Notice the third thing. Quickly this morning, there's no more sorrow, no broken hearts, no disappointments. No longer will your heart break any longer. No sorrows in heaven. But then number four, no more pain, No sickness, no cancer treatments. Oh, no oxygen tanks. No pills. No wheelchairs. No walkers. No insulin. No surgeries. No hospitals. Aren't you glad for that? Say amen.
Amen.
Then notice there's no more sun. Look at verse number 23 of the same chapter. For the Bible there says that there will not be the need of the sun. And in that city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did light it. Thank God. Listen, as beautiful as the sunrise is on a cold morning, as beautiful as the sun comes up over the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, how beautiful that is. But yet, my friend, there will not be any sun in heaven. The only sun will be the Son of God, and He'll provide the light. And thank God we won't need the candles. We won't need electricity. We won't need the lamps. We'll have the Son of God that lights up the whole universe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then also, look at verse 27. There'll be no more sinners in heaven. Hear me out, beloved. As good as heaven is, and as great as heaven is, if you're sitting under my voice this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, it's not going to be one of them deals where you're going to get up yonder and you say, well, I wonder if my good outweighs my bad. I wonder if I'm going to get to go in or not. Hey, you decide on this side of eternity for heaven. You don't wait till you get there. In fact, when you die, if you die without Jesus, you'll never see heaven. You'll never see the pearly gates. You'll never see your loved ones. People say years ago, there's a group of kids that said they were committing suicide because they heard there was a great big party in hell and they wanted to go to hell so they could be with their friends. Honey, I got news for you. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing and separation. There won't be any parties in hell. There won't be any drug addicts. No, sir.
Right.
No, sir.
That's good.
But in verse 27, there won't be any sinners in heaven. I got news for you. You won't have to worry about locking your doors. Say amen.
Amen.
While we were gone for a couple of days, we were up there, and Brother Mike went and let us borrow his house up there in the, outside of Boone. And the local channel was out of Charlotte. And I want to tell you something. You think it's bad here? It is bad here. But when you turn on them big city, I think Charlotte's a big city. You turn on that news, there's a shooting here and a killing there. 15-year-old, 16-year-old going out and blowing somebody's brains out, shooting them in a shooting a security guard at what was it, Walmart? No, Food Lion. I don't know if it made the news down here, but a 14-year-old shot him in the head, killed him. You say, friend, what about that? I'm glad I'm going to a place where you don't have to worry about that. I'm glad I'm going to a place where there are no thieves, there are no crooks. Take that for what it's worth. Amen. You know what I'm talking about right there? Amen. There are no liars in heaven. There's no thieves in heaven. There's no crooks in heaven. There's nothing in heaven that would defile. Thank God we're headed to a place where all is peace and rest.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But then quickly this afternoon, notice number three, the four square city. I don't have time to preach all this today. Notice, but in that John tried to measure that city, and notice what he said here. Notice in verse number 13 and verse number 12, he talks about that city and about the foundation of that city. But that city, beloved, in verse number 16, he talks about it as lieth four square, and the length as is large as the breadth, and measured the city with 12,000 furlongs. Now, what is that? You write this in your Bible. It's approximately 1,500 miles. I don't comprehend it, don't understand it all, but let me tell you what I do know. If you were to stretch that out, the diameter would be larger than the moon itself. It would stretch from the Atlantic Ocean all the way to Colorado. It would stretch from Canada all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. And beloved, the city that John describes us here, it is a multi-dimensional city. It's not just flat. but it's 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles square. I don't understand it all, but honey, I want to tell you something. It's big enough for all of God's children to fit inside, see? It's big enough to where, and it's, listen, these old songs that say, I've got a cabin in glory, I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Can't describe it all, but let me go on down here. Notice how these beautiful stones that he described, beginning in verse number 18, he talks about jasper, that's clear like icicles. Sapphire, clear blue. Chalcedonia is yellowish green. Emerald is a deep green. Sardonyx is white with layers of red. Sardis is fiery red. Crystallite is golden yellow. Beryl is the sea color, sea green. Topaz is greenish yellow. Chrysanthemis is a golden green. Jacinth is purple. Amethyst Jacinth is violet, and amethyst is purple. What am I saying? It's going to be a city, my friend. I have not seen enter in the heart of man. You won't be able to describe it down here. John tried to do his best, but he said it's a glorious city. It's a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. And thank God I'm going to that city of God. But then notice quickly the folk of heaven. Look in verse number 7 of chapter 21. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. Then look down in verse number 24. And all the nations of them which are, say that word with me, would you please? If you got your Bibles open, verse 24, all the nations of them which are what?
Saved!
Thank God, I like that Bible word, saved. They tell me when the Titanic went down in 1912 and they published the paper in New York City, and they had two columns of people. They published on one side, it said on the heading, lost. And on the other side, saved. The ones that were saved were the ones that were rescued. The ones that were lost perished in that horrible ocean liner as it went down to the depths of the Atlantic Ocean. Friend, I want to tell you something. Those that's going to heaven are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been washed in the blood. They've been to Calvary. They've trusted Jesus as their Savior. It's not by works lest any man should boast. It's not what you have in your hands. It's not what you've done. It's not what family you come from. It's by the precious blood of Jesus that we're saved. 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 Several years ago, Dr. James Kennedy, pastor of the famous Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was called upon to go meet with President Ronald Reagan at the White House. During the meeting, Dr. Kennedy looked over to the President Reagan, and he said this to President Reagan, "Suppose you were to die and find yourself standing at the door of heaven. If God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer?" I want to ask you this morning the same question. If you were to die, why should God allow you into his heaven? As Dr. Kennedy spoke to President Reagan paused for a moment and he said, "Well, I guess I'd have to answer with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dr. Kennedy said, "That's indeed a good answer, because, my friend, the only hope of heaven is through Jesus."
Amen.
The President of the United States realized, even though he had been through Hollywood, even though he was a famous man, even though he was the head of the United States, at that time the greatest country in all the world, that man realized that the only hope of heaven was through the shed blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're the president or a pauper. What matters is if you trust in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And I want you, if Follow me along. Look in verse number 8. The people that won't be there. And very quickly this morning, follow me along. I see what time it is. But y'all bear with me. If y'all stay with me another 5-10 minutes, amen. Will y'all stay with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I feel much better. Look at verse 8. But he said, John said, now watch this, please. This is going to answer your question this morning.
Come on.
This is going to determine your destiny this morning. First of all, he said, but the fearful. And then he said, the unbelieving. And the abominable. And the murderers. And the whoremongers. And the sorcerers. And the idolaters. And all liars. Boy, we could stop right there and preach on that, couldn't we? I won't get political on you, but I believe we could fit somebody right there. Amen. Shall have their part in the lake of fire, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now here it is. The fearful. He's talking about the people that are afraid to accept Jesus Christ. He's talking about people that they're afraid to give up property, a position, a popularity. And there are people that will die and go to hell simply because of pride. And they say, I'm good enough. I'm not going to walk an aisle. I'm not going to bend a knee. And friend, you'll end up in a devil's hell in the lake of fire if you don't submit and bow for the Lord Jesus.
That's good, man. That's good.
The fearful. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I'm going to tell you something. Thank God, if you walk this out, there'll be Christians that will shout. There'll be folks that will rejoice. There'll be saints of God that will holler amen. Why? Because another sinner has come home.
Amen.
The second of all, the unbelieving. Not just the atheist, but it includes him. But people who profess his name but truly don't believe on his name. You see, it's one thing to believe about Jesus. It's another thing to believe in Jesus. Are y'all with me? You can say, I believe about Jesus. But do you believe in Jesus? Has there ever been a time in your life that you said, Lord God, I'm nothing more than a filthy, wretched, lost sinner, low down, scum of this earth. But by the precious blood of Jesus, I'm washed in his blood. I'm cleansed through his blood. And Lord Jesus, come in my heart, save me, and take me to heaven when I die. And on the authority of the word of God, he'll do that thing. But if you don't believe that, you make a profession, sign a card somewhere, and you'll die lost without Jesus. Third of all, I didn't write it, so don't take issue with me. I'm going to tell you what this means. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
The third thing here, he says the abominable. Can I tell you what that means from the Bible, from the Greek? All right, thank you. It means reprobates. It means sodomites. Here's the definition, those that pollute themselves with unnatural lust. I didn't write it, but I'm going to preach it. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said the abominable. And friend, can I tell you something? As you ride through this nation, as you ride up and down the countryside, and you see that men working with men, that which is unseemly, women with women, that which is unseemly. I didn't say it, but God said it. He said they are an abomination unto God, and they'll have their part according to the word of God in the lake of fire. I didn't say it, God said it. Fourth of all, murderers. Murderers of the saints of God, the prophets of God. Number 5, whoremongers, impure lust, fornication, adultery, lewdness. But then also number 6, watch this. He said there in the sorcerers in verse number 8. You see that word sorcery? Come on, y'all see that?
Yes, yes.
We get a word today that everybody in here in this building probably uses probably every week. This Greek word here, sorcery, is the Greek word for that is pharmakeusai. Pharmakeusai. Pharmakeiai. From what we get our word pharmacy. It simply means drugs or drug users. Witchcraft, but also drug users. God said in his infinite divine holy word that those drug addicts and those drug users They're not going to enter into heaven. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. Thank God he can break every addiction. Listen to me. What we've been preaching about, thank God he can set the captive free. If you're bound this morning by drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever, Jesus came to set the captive free. And the only reason, if you're not free, either you don't know the truth or either you're not applying the truth. That's the only two reasons. But I believe this. He came to set the captive free. Amen. And then notice last of all liars, those that speak in hypocrisy, those that have believed the lie of Satan, some other way to heaven besides Jesus. And I close with this, Revelation 22:4. I see here the last thing. Look in chapter 22, verse 4. And they shall see his face. The face of heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. Heaven's a place of reunion with loved ones, a place of no pain, no sorrow, no broken promises, no divorce, no hurt, no harm. But if the walls were not jasper, and if the streets were not gold, and if mansions would crumble, and folks still grew old, still I'd see everything I'm longing to see. For if Jesus is there, that will make it heaven for me. Heaven for me. Heaven for me. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Miss Julian, could you come to piano? Miss Bonnie, would you come to organ? Brother Darrow, would you come? I want to ask you this morning, are you going to heaven? And if you're going to heaven, are you taking somebody with you?